It is time for the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here in studio along with Jerry Coyne. And Jerry, it is semifinal Saturday for the 11-man group, and it's actually state finals day for the 8-man group. So what a great Saturday.
Yeah, unfortunately we have no scores to discuss,
right?
But a lot of action today, all of it, as a matter of fact, on the line for the teams that are vying to make it to Ford Field. And we couldn't be more excited. Luckily, we were able to scramble and get a hold of both of the coaches who are still in the tournament. And we'll be playing those interviews.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was awesome. Yesterday afternoon, we were able to both have Josh Sellers and Eric Shiggers. Of course, Josh Sellers from Traverse City St. Francis, as they continue to move along here, a very familiar spot that they are, you know, they just seem, they at least make it to the semifinals almost every single year. You see them on that Thanksgiving weekend playing in state finals on a regular basis. And then, of course, Coach Eric Shiggers from Traverse City Central, 2 years in a row now making it to the semifinals, and they want to get over the hump and get into Ford Field and play next weekend.
Yeah, we've been lucky to have Coach Sugars on most of the year, and because of the show has been more full and our affiliation with Traverse City West and the other things that have been going on, we haven't had a chance to have Josh on from Traverse City St. Francis. You want to roll that now?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, this is Josh Sellers from Traverse City St. Francis as they get ready to play today as they are taking on Pawamo Westphalia.
We're ready to roll.
All right. Joining us now is the head coach of Traverse City St. Francis Gladiators, Josh Sellers. And coach, you're in a very familiar spot. Your team is now playing in the semifinals against a very good Pawamo Westphalia team.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rich. I appreciate it. The kids have performed really well this year, steadily improving from early in the season. And put themselves in a good position to hopefully take the next step down the Ford Field.
Yeah, Coach, this year's team, real impressive. You guys have scored 600 points so far this year, averaging 50 a game. Your team seems a little more explosive this year than they have been in years past.
Yeah, definitely. The maturation and growth of our quarterback, Charlie Peterson, who's a senior, he's a two-year starter, left-hander who can sling the ball, a whole bunch of kids who can go and get the ball. Gabe Olivier, Josh Groves, Drew Hardy. I'd agree with that assessment that we're a little bit different than your traditional St. Francis team. We're not just a ground and pound 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but have quick strike capability this year as well.
And coach, tomorrow on the field, it'll be showing there the kind of two teams that are kind of do two different things. Westphalia, not nearly as explosive you guys offensively, but a team that's only given up 67 points the entire season.
Yeah, watching them on film, what really jumps off the screen is how fast they play as a unit and how they take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them. I don't have anybody who's a particularly a burner who's going to run away from us offensively, but as a unit, both on offense and defense, they're very sound fundamentally, and they just play very fast, and that's going to have to be something that we overcome tomorrow.
Yeah, Coach, and you guys are meeting down in the greater Grand Rapids area, down at, Cedar Springs High School. Have you ever played there before, Coach, or do you know much about their stadium?
Neil, I know nothing about Cedar Springs other than it's a place to stop to grab a bite to eat off the highway. But other than that, it looks like Google Earth. It looks like a great stadium, looks like a fantastic facility. And through the grapevine from people who have been there, they rave about it.
Okay. Is it a field turf type of field similar to what you have at Thurlby?
It is. It is. And again, from what I've seen and what I've heard is that they've got a pretty generous stadium seating too. So going to feel a little familiar to us, kind of like Thurlby at home.
Coach, without having seen Pawamo Westphalia ourselves, it sounds like they want to possess the ball. They'll probably try to keep it away from you guys and try to keep your explosive offense off the field as much as possible. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, Jerry, I think so. Based on what we've seen, they have a quarterback who is a converted running back because they lost their starter early in the season, if not the preseason. Ishpeming Westwood last week did that to us. They had the ball for 35 of the 48 minutes of possession time. But again, our testament to our kids offensively, we put up 48 points. We ran 29 plays. And so, we had three scoring drives under a minute. We had a pick six, and then our other two scoring drives were under 3 minutes.
I'm sorry, Coach.
Flabbergasting.
You got to like the efficiency of that offense, Coach.
And believe me, it's fantastic, but there have been times this year where Mike Lozinski, our D coordinator, has talked to our O coordinator, Scott Dorey, and he's like, can you just put a drive together, please, so we can get some time off the clock? And that's a good problem to have.
It is
until the you don't get the opportunity. If you see one of those drives like the Washington football team laid on Tampa Bay, where you just don't ever get the chance to get the ball back.
Well, that's it too, right? So there's that double-edged sword. But as long as we score the football when we have our possessions, we're putting ourselves in a good spot.
Right, Coach. And this is a Paloma-Westphalia team. Usually, Coach, you guys have made traditionally such long playoff runs into the state finals, things like that. But believe it or not, Paloma's just a team you've only met one other time.
Yeah, one other time. So, interestingly, we had a really good decade in the aughts from 2000 to 2009, winning four different championships and showing up as a runner-up. And then kind of that baton was passed to Paloma. They went on a streak there, and they won a couple of state championships during the teens. And so it's really kind of strange. You're right. The last time and the only time we've met was 2016, and they got us at home 17-14.
Yeah, so that's a close game. And Josh, of course, your dad was a very good football coach himself. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, he won a state championship as well, correct?
He won two playoffs, 92 and 99. He likes to claim a mythical championship in 74, but I keep reminding him that one was mythical. That was before the playoffs, Dad.
So what's it like being a legacy coach like that at a place like Traverse City St. Francis, where your dad had laid the groundwork, the foundation for this amazing program, and you've taken over and you continue this greatness of the Gladiators?
Well, just completely and utterly blessed, that my dad put 30 years, three decades of his life into building that program, taking it over from great coaches like Waldo Keating, who preceded him, but developing the culture. I've been fortunate enough to lead a couple teams to state titles. Greg Vaughn then stepped in and has won a couple of titles back-to-back in 08 and 09. And it's a unique experience for sure, and one that I'll treasure forever.
Coach, you got any linebackers slated to head to Michigan State this year?
Yeah, we don't. We don't have any D1 talent this year.
Wow.
Again, Charlie Peterson is hoping to play football somewhere next year. A couple other guys looking to play, but nothing in terms of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That's very impressive to have accomplished as much as this team has without any real superstar D1 talent.
Nope. And maybe the most explosive kid that we have on our program, is a junior, Wyatt Nostatus. He's a threat every time he touches the ball. He's a running back, but he's a great receiver. And he's going to play college basketball when he's done with his high school career in a couple of years.
I got no problem with that. again, Coach, we're going to, without a lot of knowledge of this Paloma-Westphalia, I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Coach Sugars earlier in the program. What do you, if you get to win the coin toss, are you taking the ball?
I think so. We haven't had that discussion as a coaching staff, and we're very collaborative as a staff. It's the first time you've made me think about it. So I'll have to think on that and talk on that. But, there's a lot of statistical and analytical evidence that says that gives you that extra possession in the first half and a chance to go up early. So I think weather's going to be fine, not to the point where that's going to impact that decision. So
right.
Definitely food for thought.
Yeah, and Coach, and certainly with your offense being, you know, obviously a real strength of this team, it would be nice to take the ball, you know, win the toss and march right down the field and put some points on the board right away and put this Palomo team back on its heels immediately.
I think so, absolutely. That's definitely, we're going to have to execute and perform, and that would be a nice way to start the game.
The weather doesn't appear to be a factor. You're going to be on field turf, so it looks like you have a lot of positives headed down there. And another great advantage, well, Puama's going to have the same thing, Rich, is a lot of experience making deep tournament runs. So don't expect a lot of mistakes and a lot of positive execution.
Absolutely. They're looking for some retribution from being canceled last season, from going on a long run with the COVID stuff, and they're hungry. You know, I know they'll be chomping at the bit to take their shots at us, and two undefeated teams going at it, and I hope it's a great game.
You know, you mentioned that very briefly, Coach. It seemed like even from the preseason, this team has had a chip on its shoulder. It seems like you guys felt that you probably should have gone to Ford Field last year. Didn't work out that way. And this has been a mantra for this team.
Absolutely, we did, actually. We ended up playing in the finals last year. But we fell to New Lothrop. We had a terrible first half and then just crawled and clawed back in the second half and fell a touchdown short. But to your point, absolutely, it has been a huge chip. We want to get back. Kids want to kind of get that taste out of their mouths of the runner-up finish last year. And so that has been a huge motivator all this season.
Yeah. Well, Coach Josh Sellers, we really appreciate you joining us here on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show. And, Coach, best of luck against Palomo Westphalia. And, Coach, I don't say this often, but go Gladiators.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on the Bill Morsch High School scoreboard here on Up North Sports Radio.
Well, actually, we're going to stay put.
Yeah, right. Just to recap that just a little bit, JC, what a great guy. Josh Sellers had an opportunity when I was still doing a color analyst for the Grayling football games. He took time away from their post game to come and talk to me for a few minutes. So incredibly nice guy. And he's just done an amazing job there at Traverse City St. Francis. And you and I were talking off air a little bit, how hard it is to be a legacy coach following your dad's footsteps that has had so much success.
Yeah. You know, I can't think of another, I'm sure it's happened probably down in Ohio, especially.
Sure.
But not that I can think of in the state of Michigan. We were talking to Al Fracassa, John Harrington. I know Harrington's son is now coaching. Time will only tell whether he ever gets to the number.
Sure.
One of Al Fracassa's sons coached in public school over on the east side for a while. I think basically to coach his own son, who was a pretty good quarterback. But, you have to be a very special person. And obviously St. Francis has got a very special thing going on.
For sure.
For football. You know, when you said in the interview, Rich, I don't say this very often. I mean, when you and McCord were doing all those Grayling football games, it's kind of where your season went to die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were able to beat them one time. And that was
in
the
12 years.
Yeah, in 12 years, exactly.
That's crazy.
In football, once, you know, beat them in basketball with more regularity, but yep. That was, you know, different sport. But, yeah, football beat them one time. We're close many, many times, and we're one play away.
Yep.
And so it was heartbreaking, you
but
know.
That's the way those programs are.
Yes.
You know, I hate to keep talking about Brother Rice, but that's the way those yep. programs are. There's just something about them that continued excellence. That's the New England Patriots.
Yes.
You know, the Alabama's, the Ohio States of the world. Some of the other, you know, like we were talking off air, Rockford.
Yeah.
Rockford always seems to, you know, in those close games, unless they're playing a Brother Rice or somebody
yes.
else like that, that's when you have those really amazing matchups.
You do, exactly. They just, for some some way, somehow they find a way to win. It could be fluke plays at the very, it could be whatever. There just seems to be this mythical thing over them, like a halo type effect that just like they end
up. They used to talk about that with the Boston Celtics.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know? Going into the Boston Garden and something weird's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it happens down in Columbus, Ohio. Usually it's the officials. Go Spartans.
That's right.
But yeah, you know, but it can't just be luck.
No, oh no.
You know what I mean?
No, you make your own luck.
Yeah, but it's that aura, you know, yes. when you go to a St. Francis, when you go to a Catholic Central or a Rockford, you know, the expectation from the get-go is excellence.
Absolutely.
And some of that, you know, you just have the feeling as soon as you step on the field, we're better than you.
Yes.
And when you play with that kind of confidence, it gives you a little bit more freedom instead of being so uptight.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of St. Francis, it permeates the entire school there.
Yeah.
All their boys and girls programs, they expect excellence. You know, their baseball team went to the state finals last year. They expect everything for you to win state championships in every sport, and you do it the right way.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of filtered in throughout all the Catholic League now in downstate. I hate to keep referring to that, but it used to be kind of Brother Rice's and Catholic Central's world. Now we got Warren De La Salle, the only team left from the Catholic League, and they've turned into a powerhouse ever since Tyrone Wheatley went there and was coaching for a while.
And Orchard Lake St. Mary's has done well in the past as well.
And UAD has gotten better again. You know, they haven't won a state championship. Well, they won a couple in basketball when they had Cassius Winstis. So, that is part. We're going to have our interview that we did yesterday with Coach Sugars. He's trying to build that same culture, a little bit harder to do in D1 or D2 than it is in, D6?
D7.
D7, yeah.
Yeah, it is for sure in public school in northern Michigan. But Coach Eric Sugars has done a tremendous job for sure.
So, just briefly, we got a chance to talk a little bit about Pomona Westphalia. Is there anything else that you can add about that team that might be troubling, or I mean it seems like they're polar opposite teams?
They are. Again, just to really emphasize, a team that has given up 60 in 12 games has given up 67 points. They give up 5.5 points per ball game, so they give up less than a touchdown each and every game. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
So that,
and then you heard what Coach said about their offense.
Yes.
I mean, 48 points in 27 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It just boom, boom, boom. And that's what really stood out to me this year was how explosive this team. Typically, St. Francis is a ground and pound, move the chains. We're just going to beat you physically. Well, they have a left-handed quarterback in the Peterson kid that can throw the ball. They have receivers this year, so they can fling it. If the run isn't working, they can throw it on you. So they're really multi-dimensional, and this is a big difference from years past.
Well, kudos to Coach Rogers. That's, you know, you adapt your skill to your skill set.
Right.
And obviously when he mentioned that he doesn't have any D1 talent, so they probably don't have a huge physical imposing line on either side of the ball.
They're just technically sound. They do it the right way. And
we haven't seen him play this year.
No, exactly. I listened to the Grayling St. Francis game because it was an off night for me from Traverse City West, so I was able to listen to it. It played actually right after or a couple hours after our game. And it was a great game. They scored. Grayling was up by a touchdown with 2 minutes to go in the first half. And in the last 2 minutes of the first half, St. Francis found a way to score two touchdowns and take the lead going in a half, and it was over.
Well, you know, not having seen Pomona Westphalia, it sounds like they're a little bit like the Grayling Vikings, team that really wanted to physically impose you.
Yeah.
I know they have a couple of really good running backs as opposed to Grayling having David Milliken. Mm. So St. Francis probably has a decent idea of what's going to, you know, what they're going to try to do.
Yes, exactly. They do. And so, and again, being on a field turf field, something that St. Francis is familiar with, almost every one of their games this year played on that type of field. So
if you want to play with speed and skill, You like having that turf instead of the grass.
A little faster surface for sure. And like he said, weather is not going to be an issue.
Right.
Where like last Friday night, where a lot of our Northern Michigan teams went down towards the Grand Rapids area, they had a snowstorm to deal with down there. There'll be none of that today. So it should be great football weather for
them. Yeah, just for those of you that know this or you'll get a little chuckle, it's just – you know, like Notre Dame plays on grass for a reason.
Yes.
Because they're hardly ever the fastest team. And I've been down on that field when they've played Michigan a few times. And literally, it's like the rough at a U.S. Open.
Yes, absolutely. Keep that grass long. We're going to keep it groomed to our strengths.
That's right.
All right, so we'll be back with more of the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Bill Marsh Auto Group Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne in studio with you. And as you had mentioned prior, Jerry, we were fortunate enough to have the coaches that are playing today, both Coach Eric Shiggers of Traverse City Central and Coach Josh Sellers of Traverse City St. Francis, kind enough to join us yesterday so we could tape a couple of their interviews because they're playing today, kickoff at 1 o'clock for both of these teams. So they were able to do that. And like you had mentioned, Coach Eric Shiggers has joined us all year long, every single Saturday. So it's really been, we've really had a nice connection with that program.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of insight into the program, even though we've only, I think you've seen him play twice. I've seen him play once. Actually, I saw him play twice, but yeah, this is a great football team.
It is.
And I you know, had you mentioned, we're going to hear the interview in a minute. Has Central won a state championship since they split? I know when it was just Traverse City High School, they won a number of state championships, but I don't know if they've won a football state championship.
25 years ago, this is the 25th year, I believe, of when the split took place. So when they were all at, can you imagine all those kids at one school at one
point? Oh, there was the biggest high school in the state of Michigan.
You look at the enrollment now, 1,600 at West and 1,400 at Central. You know, I mean, holy cow, you got 3,000 kids running around a school. That's a big school.
That's a big school.
Yep. And so, so it's been 25 years. I don't think they have. I don't think Central has on their own when they divide. I don't believe that to be true, JC. Of course, I could be wrong, but I'm just trying off the top of my head.
When the split I remember, being in high school at the time.
Yeah.
And Traverse City was always in the mix.
They were, absolutely. Yeah. I remember going to games this time of year over at Traverse City when
there'd be 6,000 people in the stands.
Coach Jim Ooley was the coach, and that team went on to win a state championship. It was the late 70s, early 80s, I believe.
Yeah.
And, it was just, you expect that. It was a nasty
100 kids on the team.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, just physical as all get out. And that team went on to win a state championship. And
tons of kids back in the 60s and 70s going to Michigan, to Michigan State. You'd see like five or six kids from Traverse City.
Yes, absolutely.
So, this is a golden opportunity. They've got a number of kids going to D1 as opposed to what we heard from Traverse City St. Francis, more of a community effort. Not to say that Central doesn't have a great team, because they do.
Oh, yes.
They've got great offensive and defensive lines. And so let's go ahead and play that interview, if I can find it.
Right. Yeah, and it certainly doesn't hurt having Josh Burnham on your team, the number two overall recruit in the entire state of Michigan. Heading to Notre Dame, going to be a play linebacker and or defensive end for the Fighting Irish.
Speaking of high school football, that dial tone you hear is us reaching out to Coach Eric Shiggers from the Traverse City Central Trojans.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Eric Shiggers, head varsity football coach at Traverse City Central High School.
Well, we'll call that right back, Rich.
We will. Obviously, they are taking on South Lyon tomorrow down at Greenville at 1 o'clock. A 1 o'clock kickoff down there. Again, a lot of our Northern Michigan teams are all going to that greater Grand Rapids area. And very familiar with that area, of course. But TC Central at 11-1 taking on an undefeated South Lyon team should be a great game.
Hello?
Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. We're live on the radio, so If you're going to swear, just say Trojans.
I'm at school, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you are. Thanks for taking time out. You know, a weird schedule this week. Everybody playing on Saturday. Does that affect your team much, Coach?
Not much. You know, I think it's just we kind of bump the days down this week. You know, our Monday was a Tuesday practice, and then today's practice is we look at it like a Thursday practice. So, you know, it's a little change in terms of your preparation. You know, it's like I said, when I woke up this morning, we're not playing a Friday night football game for the first time in 11 weeks or so. So, but that's all right. In the semifinals, we knew it's a Saturday afternoon game, and so our routine will be the same. Tomorrow morning, just wake up and have our pregame routine like we always do, travel a little bit, stop and get out to eat, and we'll walk through and then show up at the stadium. So.
Right. Now, Coach, you guys made it this far last year, okay, to the semifinals. Is there anything you did differently this year to prepare? Of course, different team you're playing, but still, any different preparation, travel schedule, anything like that than what you did last year?
No, I think we're pretty routine. You know, I think we're process-oriented, and we stick to that process and our routines, and that's comfortable for the kids and comfortable for our coaches and staff. So I think it's something you have to do this time of year. You don't want to change too much at this time of year just because you're in semifinals or it's a bigger game, you know. It's still, you know, I think the kids know the added stakes of it. You win this game and you get to play at Ford Field, and so that's the exciting part of it.
You got that right, Coach. So South Lyon is the opponent. Is there anybody that you've played so far this year that they kind of remind you of?
You know, it's a great question. I was thinking about that, and someone asked me that earlier in the week. And, you know, they remind me a little bit, you know, kind of like Caledonia a little bit last week in terms of, like, spread you out. But South Lyon, for the most part, they want you to get run sideline to sideline, and they want to stretch you horizontally and vertically on the field. And so they got some athletes that we have to contend with. And, you know, we got to play a great football game. We got to get to our run fits and get after them, and on the other side of the ball, defensively, they're the same way. They kind of attacking style and come at you. So we got to be prepared for that. But, you know, there's not really a team, I guess, to compare them with at this point. But, you know, we're just ready for this one.
Right. And, Coach, in my scouting report, looking at the South Lyon team, looks like they have a couple of good running backs. And so that'll certainly something that you guys will be keying on.
Yeah, you know, there's – they have a couple of brothers, the Vacassi brothers. They're pretty good athletes on that football team. And a running back is really shifty. And those guys, you got to account for. I mean, at this point in the game, you know, at this point in the season, those guys, the teams you're going to run into are going to have good athletes. And they just got to be prepared for that.
I got to imagine, Coach, that you're going to use the same formula that's been so successful for you, maybe even to even more of an extent, is running behind that big offensive line, controlling the clock, and keeping their explosive players off the field.
Yeah, you know, that's the strength of our team. You know, our offensive line, certainly, we've been running the football a lot more this year and running it with success. And so, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you pretty much stick to what's got you here. You know, you don't change too much. It's not like you dig into the bag of tricks to pull something out. It's just a matter of do what you do, do it well, continue to stay disciplined on both sides of the ball, and execute at a high level when you need to. And that's, you know, the teams that do that are the teams that will advance.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, you guys have just consistently all year gotten it done. Again, certainly by scheduling a team like DeWitt early in the year, you had it, obviously, you're willing to possibly take an L in the loss column early in the year because you know that's going to prep you for some of these teams you may have long playoff runs against.
Well, like I said, you know, if you want
it is. I mean, that's why you play a tough non-conference schedule, you know. You play that schedule so you can prepare yourself for that. I mean, you want to play tough teams early on in the year so when you get to the playoffs, you've had some tests throughout the season, so that's a key part to what we do.
It also helps if you throw in a nice 75-80 yard kickoff return. It's always going to help your cause.
Yeah, it is. You know, yeah, I thought we executed in all facets of the game last week, offense, defense, and special teams, and we certainly have to do that again. And, you know, at this point, everything gets magnified, and you just got to be sound. And I think our kids understand that, you know, preparation-wise. You know that coming in. So You got to be great in all phases.
Yeah, Coach, have you seen that? They have teams now. Are they trying to kick away from Bordeaux on those kicks now, or have they not necessarily seen everything that we've seen?
You know, some teams have. You know, I think it's a matter of sometimes where the ball bounces too. So, but yeah, he's a talented kid and just a great young man for us. And you know, he's a guy that we want to get the ball to, and sometimes that's another. You know, that's why I put him on special teams. It's another area where he can excel. And, I hope that continues.
Well, you know, the best thing probably about your team this year, Coach, is the fact that all three phases are super solid. You've got a really good defense. You're hard to run the ball against. You don't give up a lot of huge plays. Have you given up any touchdowns on special teams this year? I don't think so.
We gave up a kick return early on in the year against Brother Rice. We gave up one of those. So, I think, yeah, you're right. You got to be great with that. So, and you learn from that every time you kick, every time you play. I mean, those are opportunities to grow and get better. And that's why you watch film and you make your corrections. You know, you find your correctables and coachables, right? So we find that on film and get better week to week. And our guys believe in that. And, you know, that's got us to this point.
Coach, have you played down at the Greenville field before?
You know what our JV team did last year, but our varsity team has not. Our JV team played down there. But I haven't. Varsity hasn't. So some of the guys will be familiar with the setting and setup down there.
Coach, I'm curious. I don't think the people from South Lyon are listening, and we're not. But. If you guys win the toss, are you going to take the ball first, or are you going to defer?
Come on, guys. I can't just hold that. So. Doesn't matter who's listening. Someone is.
Right. So. Nope. Coach, that's right. Do not give your opponent even a sliver of an advantage.
Exactly right.
So I guess I got one last question for you, Coach. Are you expecting a big crowd to follow the buses down tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the exciting part. The community's kind of rallied around us. The guys are hearing it from friends and alumni and things of that nature. So we're excited about that opportunity
to
you know, we're in the semifinals again for the second straight year. What a feat by these guys! But like we've talked about, they want to take that next step and, you know, get over the hump and get a chance to play, you know, for a state championship.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, you've represented Northern Michigan really well, and I know you guys will again tomorrow. And, unless JC's got another question, we just appreciate you joining us each and every week. Usually it's a Saturday, but the game is tomorrow. Best of luck tomorrow, and as always, go Trojans.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for what you do for high school football. And, you bet. Go Trojans.
All right, Coach Eric Sugars headed down. So where are they playing? Greenville.
Greenville, yes.
All right.
All right. We're back. Thanks to Eric Sugars, as their team right now is on their way down to Greenville to take on an undefeated 12-0 South Lyon team. Again, a South Lyon team that won a regional championship last week, Jerry, in overtime, beating Portage Central 29-23.
Yeah, Portage Central is generally a power.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a pretty good football team. But, you know, without having seen them and talking to Coach and a lot of it just points to a Central victory. But like you said, Rockford got beaten.
Yeah.
When you're this close to the state championship, anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. A South Lyon team that had 78 playoff points, Central has 71. So they, you know, looking at that stuff, and again, you can throw all that stuff out the window now because it's who's going to execute the best. And as you talk about, turnovers will be key. You take care of the ball and let the best team win. And that's the way it should be. Really looking forward to following that game on my computer here as well. So, yep, and we're going to have Coach, what, Kevin O'Connell? We are. Coach Kevin O'Connell from the Gaylord St. Mary Snowbirds is going to be joining us today. Looking forward to that. But first, we're going to go to break. And so we'll be back with the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group and Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne joining you in studio today on this semifinal slash final Saturday for the eight-man team. And speaking of eight-man football coaches, rejoining the show for the first time in a few weeks is head coach Kevin O'Connell from the Gaylord St. Mary Snowbirds. Welcome back, Coach.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that.
All right, Kevin, let's take a look at your season overall. You guys ended up, you made it into the playoffs, and you got beat by a very good Marion team, 48-8. But when you look back at the season overall, Coach, you got to take a lot of positives out of this year's team.
I would agree with you. There were a lot of positives. Granted, you know, we got punched in the face early on. We lost, our starting quarterback in Brody Jeffers after week three. And Gavin Bevel stepped in and did an outstanding job. But, that's the nature of football. There are injuries and setbacks. And as a coach, you got to prepare the players to play multiple positions and have great depth at positions. And Gavin did an outstanding job. I think what stood out for us was our strength of schedule. If we did not play the schedule that we did, we would not have been in the playoffs. Right. But we played a lot of larger schools and a lot of schools that were very, very good. So, you know, based upon the new playoff point system, playing and losing or playing and beating some of those teams certainly helped us get in. So I was very pleased with our year.
Yeah, no question, Coach. And as I had mentioned, there is a state final being played today in the eight-man. And a team you know, Sutton's Bay, as they take on a very good Adrian Lenawee Christian team.
Yeah, that's a rematch from last year. And Sutton's Bay is loaded. I've seen them on film. They're good. They're well coached. Coach Opie does a nice job. Coach Pash, their defensive coordinator, I don't know. I think he's been in high school football for 40 plus years. So they have an outstanding staff. They have an outstanding, just a great program too, and a great relationship with Lake Leelanau St. Mary's. So they do a nice job, and boy, they got some folks. They're big, they're fast, they're physical. Not overly cosmic in their scheme, but yeah, boy, they can play football. They're good.
Coach, you and I were talking a couple of days ago, and one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on is you are a student of high school football and know a lot of the teams that are playing, regardless of whether it's 8-man or 11-man. What are some of the matchups that you've looked at that you think are going to be dynamite today, and maybe give us a shade of who you think is going to end up in Ford Field?
You know, I'm going to stay close to home, and I think the St. Francis P-Dub game is going to be outstanding. Pomo beat Lansing Catholic, who beat Portland. So you're talking three schools in three different divisions that are still in the playoffs, and Portland's still in five. Lansing Catholic is in, five, Portland six, and Pomo seven. So Pomo's the real deal. But I'm never going to root against the St. Francis team. They're so well coached. They're so well disciplined. And, I think they're the real deal. They're good. I think that is a outstanding matchup. The other one I'm going to stay close to home, and I'm going to go a game ahead, is I'm really looking forward to a Warren D. LaSalle St. Francis game, a Central game. I think that's going to be an outstanding game as well. So, but, you know, they obviously have to win today to get there, but those are the matchups I'm kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, no question about it, Kevin. Again, head coach of the Gaylord St. Mary Snowbirds, Kevin O'Connell, joining us. Speaking of the St. Francis team, Coach, they're a lot more explosive this year than what they have been in years past. I mean, they've already scored 600 points on their season 12 games in, And they're amazing. They can run the ball, but they can throw it as well.
Yeah, they've certainly changed it. But, you know, that's a tribute to their coaching staff. You know, their scheme has to match their personnel. And opening it up with a real quarterback. And they've always had great athletes, don't get me wrong. But I really think their scheme matches their personnel. And back when I was in Grayling, their defensive scheme and their offensive scheme certainly matched their personnel. You know, square pegs did not fit in the round holes there. They have a great scheme, and they put the kids in the right position, and it sounds like they're doing a great job.
Well, that's not always the case, Coach, as you know. I mean, you've had to be very flexible going from Grayling to St. Mary's and then going from 11-man to 8-man. But, you know, there's a lot of schools that just run a system, and this is what we do. But I think it's the ultimately tremendously successful coaches that just go, okay, this is what we have. This is our best opportunity to win, and that's certainly happening at St. Francis because, as Rich pointed out, a major departure from how they usually play.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, it doesn't change their style. I mean, they've obviously may have changed their scheme a little bit, but their philosophy hasn't changed. They got tough kids that just want to punch you in the face. And it doesn't matter whether you throw the ball or run the ball, you're going to get punched in the face when you play St. Francis. So, team change, philosophy hasn't. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with, you know, and I heard the interview with Coach Sellers, and, you know, every team that you're talking about, the consistency or the benchmark is coaching longevity and consistency. You're not seeing major turnovers in coaching staffs. The kids are consistent. They have the same coaches year in and year out, and they can build a program and maintain a program. And I think that has a huge part in St. Francis and even with Coach Hooker, because I think he's been there for 7, 8, 9 years and doing an outstanding job there. So, you know, that level of consistency you see in successful programs. You don't see coaching changes every 3, 4 years in normal great programs. You don't. So.
Well, thanks for listening to our show, Coach. We appreciate that. You know, we at the end of that interview that we had with Coach Sellers, we were talking about, you know, teams that always seem to win no matter what. You know, even when the games are close, you were on the coaching staff at Grayling where you had a couple of really tight games with St. Francis that you weren't ever able to get over the hump. What do you think accounts for that? Like, why are some legacy programs like that just always seem to win the big games no matter how tight they are?
I'm going to correct you on that one because we did beat them.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We did. It was the year before. It was when Coach Vaughn was there. We played a close one at home, and then we got them the following – or we got them at home. Yep. And that was huge. I mean, those are – when you look at the calendar of the beginning of the year and those are – you know, red letter games that you want to see. And you spend a lot more, I would say you spend a lot more time on them than you do other opponents. And, you know, trying to figure them out, tendencies, and do a lot of different things. But, yeah, there is an element of fear, I think, amongst the kids when you're playing stellar programs that consistently win. I mean, and quite honestly, I think, you know, once you get to that stage, a lot of teams don't want to play you. Because, you know, there is that dominant factor. I mean, if you look at successful programs throughout the state, they have a difficult time filling their schedule because most people don't want to play them. They're afraid to lose.
Right.
Yeah, but that's been going on for decades. You know, the Catholic League even ended up stop playing a lot of the teams, you know, like the Bishop Foley's of the world and everything else. Like, well, we can't play those guys. We're not in their league. There's no sense in playing them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that I think one of the greatest things was when the state changed it to the playoff points, and it kind of incentivized playing good teams.
Exactly.
You know, not creating a soft schedule and going, hey, 6-3, we made the playoffs. Great. But are you preparing yourself for the playoffs?
And
And if you have a strong schedule and you're not afraid to lose, you're going to see a lot of these schools going back to, all right, yeah, we'll play you. I mean, there isn't an extreme disadvantage to losing to you.
Right. Yeah, Coach. That's you've always been a proponent of playing a strong schedule, no matter what. And I always give you credit for that. And Coach, part of your deal when you were a D coordinator here at Grayling and then taken over as the head coach at St. Mary's, your job when you play those legendary programs is to get the kids not to be beat before you even step on the field mentally, yet you got to convince them that they can win this game.
I would agree with you because, and it doesn't start on a Monday of St. Francis week when you play them. It starts in November, December, and what Coach Sanchez right. and Coach Tony have done for years and, you know, building that mentality that we can play with them with and that we can beat them. It doesn't start on Monday of game week. It starts in the weight room all winter long. And, you know, Coach Sanchez was outstanding at that. He was an incredible motivator at that. So I think that's where that started, you know, when you start going, look at it, hey, this is our schedule for next year. These are our red letter games. This is the mentality that we have to have. And this is what we need to do to beat a St. Francis team to take us to the next level. And yeah, that doesn't start on a Monday.
Well, no, I mean, it's been going on at Ohio State for a while after the years where Cooper had lost all those years. And
yeah.
Tressel got in there. We set the clock. We already know exactly when we're playing Michigan. And now it looks finally like Harbaugh's taking the same thing. You hear it, you know, the very beginning of the year. We say, you know, prepare like you're going to play Ohio tomorrow.
Right.
And we'll see if that switches the gears for U of M coming up next week.
Yeah. It's difficult, though, when you're dealing with 16-year-old kids to, you know, it is an emotional roller coaster. So, you know, you got St. Francis one week, and then you have a different opponent the following week that isn't maybe as good as St. Francis, but it is that emotional roller coaster and keeping kids consistent and playing at that high level. It's difficult.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're dealing with all kinds of emotional stuff of high school kids, but, you know, oh, my girlfriend broke up with me. Oh, so.
But. Not at St. Mary's. Those kids are all perfect, Coach.
Right.
Sure. And I will tell you.
Yeah. At least my son was. God damn it.
As you know, they're perfect.
Yes, they are. All right. Well, Kevin, we really appreciate you joining us here today on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show. It's always good to get caught up with you. I know you've been a busy guy, so thanks for joining us today.
Let me know if you need that MHSAA pass for next week, Coach.
It's the new one or the
It's the new one.
The new one.
You look exactly no, not so much.
Twins.
I'm not 16. Okay. I appreciate you guys. You guys have a great day.
All right, thanks. Kevin O'Connell of the Gaylord St. Mary Snowbirds joining us, and always great to get caught up with Kevin. All right, we're gonna go to break here. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show on Up North Sports Radio, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne with you in studio. And joining us now is James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle, who is on his way down to Cedar Springs High School to watch the St. Francis Pawama Westphalia game. And James, well worth the effort to get there because I think you're in store for a great football game.
Yeah, I sure hope so. You know, two perennial powerhouses. I'm in Cadillac right now. Just pull over to the side of the road to talk to you guys, and then I'll keep going on my way to Cedar Springs to Red Hawk Stadium, and hopefully catch a very, very good football game.
We just had Coach Kevin O'Connell on. It was talking about the Pawama Westphalia's had a pretty tough schedule this year. And they are the real deal. Obviously, we know St. Francis has won some huge football games this year, not even including the playoffs with Kingsley and Grayling and everything else. So these are two battle-tested teams. James, we don't know that much about Pawama Westphalia this year. What kind of scouting report do you have on them? I know the St. Francis team isn't really loaded with the superstars that they normally have. What about Pawama?
Pawama kind of started the season with a bunch of stars, guys back from last season that they were counting on to be big stars, and then all those guys got hurt.
Wow!
Like their starting quarterback and running back and fullback are all out for the season, and so they've had to replace those guys throughout the season. They've really kind of hung their hat on the running game. on offense and on defense, the numbers they've been putting up on defense are incredible. They've had 5 shutouts this season. I think they've only allowed 67 points all year or something, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy. You know, only 2 teams have scored double-digit points against them all season.
Yeah, I mean, James.
Well, it's going to happen today.
Right, yeah, something's got to give in this game. I mean, you got St. Francis that scored 600 points on the year, and you have Pewamo Westfield that's given up 67. I mean, holy cow, that's 12 games into the season. This team has only given up an average of 5.5 points per game. I mean, that's just incredibly, that's unheard of at this point.
Yeah, and for a team that's not very big or anything either, so it's not like they're pushing teams around physically. I mean, in general, they're not just a very huge team. It's kind of like Kingsley in that aspect, where they've got one or two good, you know, 230-pound kids kind of on the line, and then, you know, you're looking at a lot of other kids under 200 that you're relying on, you know, to be key blockers for you and stuff. But they're still making it work and making it work on defense too.
Yeah, no question about it. And as we've certainly talked about here today, St. Francis, a team that, you know, traditionally they run the ball. They like to, you know, control the clock, move the chains, do some things like that. But this St. Francis team is very explosive. They can throw the ball. They've got excellent quarterback and receivers this year as well. So it's a little different from years past.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Peterson is about 300 yards, I think, away from being what I think is the first quarterback in St. Francis history to reach 2,000 passing yards in a season.
Yeah,
so, you know, if they win this game and then they play in the finals and he has decent games in both, you know, I think he'll hit that.
You
know, if they get their running game going and they're just pounding the ball, maybe he doesn't. He's not going to care if they win.
Yes.
But that'd be a pretty cool milestone to get there that I don't think any quarterback has ever done in St. Francis history.
Well, we talked to Coach Sellers. We just played that interview a little bit ago, and he was a little bit more forthcoming than Coach Sugars. if they win the opening toss, they're probably taking the ball.
I've noticed that a lot more this year than in previous years. It used to be the consensus thinking was if you won the toss, you defer to the second half and you play defense first. And I've seen a lot of teams take the ball first this season. I don't know if that's just a kind of a changing culture idea thing among coaches or what, but I've seen that a lot.
Well, I think a lot of teams, especially in this offensive era, it's so much easier right now in football to play with the lead. And that's one thing, if your defense can go out and stop them, that's great. I get it 100%. But with the high-flying offenses in high school and college now, that's not a given anymore, James.
Yeah, true. I mean, you saw last week, though, Westwood, you know, they took the ball to start, and then St. Francis got that touchdown to go up right before halftime, and then they got the ball to start the second half, and they got a touchdown there, and that was kind of it from there on.
Right.
So it's a thing that can backfire on you, but I see a lot more coaches opting to do that. If you get that first score, it you know, that is a game changer.
It is. And James, you brought up Charlie Peterson almost having 2,000 yards in a non-spread offense. You know, these spread teams in high school, they fling it all over. They'll get 3,000 yards plus or whatever. But a traditional running team that's gotten almost 2,000 yards through the air, that's really quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, running out of basically a base T offense. You know, they're not... Half the time, they don't even line up with a traditional wide receiver out wide. It's throwing the ball to tight ends, essentially, and running backs coming out of the backfield are your main receiving threats kind of in that offense. So, you know, it's a little different to see them throwing the ball this much, but I think it's something that will help them a lot if they want to get the state championship.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it, James, for sure. And we really appreciate it. I think JC's got a question for you, but we do appreciate you joining us here on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show.
We know you're headed to St. Francis, James. A quick look at you think Central is going to advance? What are the danger points there, or you think they're going to be pretty comfortable against South Lyon?
I'd probably put them at about a one touchdown favorite. You know, I think St. Francis is maybe in that same area. So, you know, Sutton's Bay in the 8-player final, which starts here in about 1 minute.
Yeah.
I think is more of a pick'em type game. You know, Adrian Lenawee kind of laid the wood to him last year in the finals when they met up. But I think it's a different Sutton's Bay team this year and a different Lenawee team this year. So I think they're a lot more evenly matched. And the taste of that loss in the final last year, too, is something that's going to give Sutton's Bay an extra little bit of momentum.
Well, it would set up some pretty interesting state final games, especially if you draw the favorite. Central would play Warren D. LaSalle and two monster football teams. Rich, who, if St. Francis moves on, who is their potential of opponent in the finals?
Right.
Let me. Lawton.
Yeah. Yep. Lawton and the Jackson Lumen Christie, another powerhouse.
Jackson Lumen Christie, St. Francis would be an epic showdown in Fort Field as well. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. So we have some more interesting things to talk about next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Warren D. LaSalle's been ranked number one pretty much all season in that division. So
they've been number one in and out for a number of years.
They wouldn't necessarily be the favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
All right. Well, James, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to your Get Around podcast. I'm sure we'll be centered around some of the games that just talked about now. And we'll look forward to see your reporting tomorrow's paper for the Record Eagle.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagles. So thanks. Appreciate him pulling over and safely talking to us as he continues on down to Cedar Springs to watch the St. Francis Powama Westphalia game.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm kind of like bummed out. I might be doing that streamcast.
Oh, I'm going to be checking out. I'm going to be on my computer while the college football games are going on today. I'm going to be definitely checking out the TC Central, Traverse City, St. Francis games, the scores, and absolutely, I'm going to be multitasking.
Yep.
So it's looking for, and we will have a show next Saturday. We are going to be here. It's Thanksgiving weekend, but because of the teams involved, we're hoping that we have two teams in the finals of 11-man football. And we're hoping to, obviously, one game will have taken place, and that game, TC Central, if they win today, they will play next Friday. So we'll be able to report on that game. And then if St. Francis wins today, they play Saturday at 10 a.m.
Yeah, so we won't be having a Friday face-off show this coming Friday. But Rich will be in studio with JJ. I will make sure that we line up the coaches. Yeah. And also, we're going to continue having some of the coaches that we've had on all year long to recap their seasons, like we did with Kevin O'Connell. We have Coach Eric Tunney, Cody Mallory, Coach Vaughn.
Right.
As we kind of put the wraps on that and get ready for high school basketball.
Yeah, looking forward to it, JC. So we appreciate you joining us here today on Up North Sports Radio. You've been listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group.
U of M football will be here at 2:30 for the pregame and a 3:30 kick. Michigan at Maryland. We'll be with you next week.